We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
We've got a wonderful show for you. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring Detroit's own Dr. Don Levine, who was involved with the vaccine, the COVID vaccine. And we'll be talking about vaccine anxiety. In the second half hour of the show, we'll be looking at the Parsha of the Week, which is a portion of Yisro, which can be found in the book of Exodus chapter 18 and following. The major story there is the giving of the Torah. We've got music of all kinds sprinkled throughout the show. A classic Torah story, a Hasidic story at the end, all the way at the end. Stay through all of that. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. House used as a weapons warehouse in northern Gaza exploded, leaving 36 people, most of whom were civilians, lightly to moderately injured. A terrorist stabbing attack was stopped near Ariel. The terrorist was shot and killed during the attempted stabbing attack. A bomb exploded near the Israeli embassy in Delhi, India. No one was injured. Israel has tightened security around its embassies around the world. Speaking of embassies, Israel opened missions in Rabat, Morocco, and Dubai this week. Hadassah Medical Center in Jerusalem said that the hospital would not accept any more corona patients. Israel extended its corona lockdown through the middle of the week. Close to 3 million Israelis have already received the corona vaccine. A Jewish family, this is some anti-Semitic acts around the world. A Jewish family in Argentina was physically and verbally attacked while driving on a vacation spot in Cordoba. And Nazi propaganda slogans were spray painted on the Holocaust Memorial in Paris. In other news, Luxembourg finally agreed to compensate Holocaust victims. The tiny European country is one of the last that has not offered restitution to its survivors. Luxembourg now pledges to pay reparations and return Jewish property to its rightful owners. And finally, a dozen pair of tefillin and old Jewish books were discovered in a bunker under a building in the old Warsaw ghetto that was being demolished. The tefillin were smuggled to Israel. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program. Running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're online with Dr. Donald Levine. He's a professor emeritus at Wayne State University Medical School. The former head of infectious diseases at Detroit Receiving Hospital was involved with testing of the corona vaccine. And we're going to be talking today about vaccine anxiety, which is now a term that actually has been popping up. And I just want to maybe we get some clarity. How are you today, Don?
Well, thank you, Richard. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for asking. I'm assuming everybody there is healthy.
So far, so good.
Good. Keep it that way. Okay. So the thing that seems that's so unusual about the corona vaccine is that it's a new science. It's like not like the old vaccines that people had where they would take like a live strain of the whatever it was they're trying to vaccinate and they would like do something to it and rip it out. And then people would be vaccinated with that and their body would build up an immune system because they had been inoculated with live bacteria or viruses. What's going on with the corona vaccine, Don?
Well, you've actually just unpacked a whole variety of interesting subjects. There's the two vaccines that have been approved so far in the U.S. are what's called mRNA vaccines. Put that on hold for a second. There are several more that are coming probably fairly soon. All of them actually have make use of technology that's really not that new. It's been developing for a very long time, and in fact, in some cases, has already been used. So just to take the two currently available vaccines that some people seem to be worried about, the mRNA vaccines. What is mRNA? Your body makes mRNA all day long, every day. This is how you make proteins. mRNA starts out from DNA and then by a variety of processes develops into mRNA, and then that is translated by a process that leads to protein production. And that's how we all make proteins. In the case of the vaccine, we're simply giving the body an mRNA that it would not otherwise have because we don't otherwise have the ability to make the proteins that would help us defeat the virus. So this mRNA is translated into the protein which is on the spike, the spike protein of the virus itself. That's the part that adheres to the human cells, attaches to the human cells, and that's how we get infected. And all we're trying to do with the vaccine is produce that spike protein without producing the virus, but allowing our body to produce immunity against that spike protein so that if, God forbid, we become infected or at least come in contact with real virus, our immune system automatically recognizes that spike protein and knocks it out. Okay. And that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's all it is.
Okay, got it. Now, so what was wrong with the old way of doing things like they did with, like, the flu virus and inoculation against measles, mumps, rubella, et cetera?
So we've had over the years a variety of different approaches. So the flu virus, for instance, is very similar. We're giving not the mRNA or the DNA, although we have other vaccines that do that, but we're giving a part of the virus. We have both a killed vaccine and a live vaccine, and we can manipulate that in such a way as to try to predict what's going to be the strain that is circulating in the future, because remember, these vaccines have to be given before you get infected. And so it's a prediction method of saying, we guess this is the virus that's going to be circulating, and then give you that. Live vaccines have potential to cause problems, so that if people have a variety of different conditions which suppress their immune system, it's not wise to give them a live vaccine because those people may indeed become sick from the vaccine itself. The killed vaccines produce immunity by a different method, may hit and may miss. There's nothing wrong with them. I mean, you take the two examples that you didn't mention, the polio vaccines, most people consider some of the most effective vaccines. For years, we gave the killed vaccine until we had development of the live vaccine, which people refer to as the sugar cube vaccine, which we swallowed. That produced immunity right in the gut where we wanted it to, because that's where we acquired the infection with polioviruses. And that was very, very effective for several reasons. One, of course, it produced immunity into the patient who received the vaccine. But two, because it was in the gastrointestinal tract, when, let's say, the parents were changing the baby's diapers, they got re-inoculated with the vaccine. And so we produced continuous herd immunity that way. But because it's a live vaccine, some very few people, very, very small number, but some few who had a suppressed immunity ended up getting infected with poliovirus from the vaccine. And so now that we've essentially eliminated polio from almost all the world, we're back to giving the killed vaccine as a safer approach.
Okay, cool. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Donald Levine. We're talking about vaccination anxiety in the light of the corona pandemic. So the way that you describe it, it sounds, and this is one of the concerns that people have, that the vaccine is very specific. It attaches to this specific type of virus. And what we see is that there are mutations that eventually, okay, so the South African mutation and the English mutation, so it seems that they're still covered, but as mutations go, the whole process of mutations is that this virus is trying to survive and beat the immune system. So it seems like eventually we're going to be back to square zero again.
So that's an excellent point. One of the advantages of an mRNA vaccine is, you know, we got the code for the spike protein last January, actually, from the Chinese. That enabled us to produce the vaccine that we now have. But we also now have the code for all these various mutations. So it's a very simple process to put that mutation, the altered code, into the mRNA. And we can then give, let's say, a booster. Let's say you've received both vaccines of either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. And it's determined that these new mutations are able to bypass the immunity that's produced by those vaccines. We can simply put those mutations into the same vaccine, new version of it, give you a booster shot, and you would instantaneously have immunity to the new strains. So the beauty, one of the beauties of this type of vaccinology is you can continuously upgrade the vaccine with very simple maneuvers.
Okay, it doesn't seem that, well, people have to start getting COVID again for people to be aware that you need booster shots then.
No, what you need to have is, and this is being done in the test tube. So the reason we can say right now that the vaccines that are currently available are still effective against the UK strain, the South African strain, a little bit more worrisome about the Brazilian strain, is that there's enough cushion over the amount you need, and we can demonstrate that in the test tubes called in vitro, to demonstrate that the vaccine's still effective. Once you say that you've got a mutation now which renders the virus not quite so well inhibited by the available immunity that you produce, we simply alter the vaccine, give you the booster, and now you have immunity against that new strain. Okay. So we're trying to stay ahead of it.
Okay, gotcha. At what point, Dr. Van Levine, would you say, what percentage of the population should be vaccinated where we can consider the entire population safe?
Well, it varies with different diseases. We figure right now that probably around 20% of the U.S. population is immune from natural disease as well as from vaccine. that's not anywhere near enough to protect the community. So we probably need to be up around 65 to 80% of the population should have immunity before you can really be comfortable that you have sufficiently established herd immunity.
Okay, so we're talking in America, we're talking about 275 million people need to be vaccinated before somebody can say, thank you, before you see the numbers go down. Let's talk about the worries people have. One worry that I heard is, well, you're teaching your body to make new proteins. Maybe you're going to make it such that your body makes new proteins that the body doesn't know about, and it's going to create autoimmune problems, and people's bodies are going to start attacking their own bodies.
Yeah, that's a concern which is commonly expressed. There's very, very little evidence to support that. So there does seem to be, in very, very rare cases, a certain amount of autoimmunity. But that's very, very uncommon. And it's nowhere near at the rate of complications from getting the infection. So despite that very unlikely possibility, we would still say you're very far better off getting the vaccine than taking your chances with the virus.
Okay. What about, say, we've heard about, or the standard procedure that we've been hearing about? I've only been hearing about it because as much as I've been trying to get vaccinated, you're a frontliner, you got it already, but I was told basically sit and wait. But the standard procedure is they give somebody the vaccine and they tell them, sit down and wait for 15 minutes. We want to see that nothing happens to you. That sounds already like when my kids got the mumps, measles, rubella vaccine, they just went, and then they went home. There was no reason for them to sit around and wait and see. So it seems like they're already like expecting things might go wrong, Dr. Levine.
Well, first off, let me put aside one thing you said, which is I actually did not get the virus, the vaccine, because I'm a frontline worker. I got the vaccine later than most other people because I was a participant in the Moderna trial. And it turns out I got the placebo dose. So I actually got my first dose just 2 weeks ago today. But that being said, there were very few people who had rather severe allergic reactions to first the Pfizer vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine. And so because of that, just using an abundance of caution, the recommendation is now when you get the vaccine, people wait to make sure they don't have that serious reaction. Still very, very, very uncommon.
Okay, understood. So, but people are afraid. When a person wants to say, you know what, I've been holed up now for almost close to 11 months already, and I'm having shopping services shop for me, and I'm not going out to the malls, and I'm not going to parties, and I'm not, and I'm going to continue to do that because I don't want to get the vaccine. How would that work?
Well, if you never leave your house, you're not at risk unless somebody brings the vaccine into you. You know, I can tell you and share with you my own father-in-law, who never left his house, died about 3 weeks ago now from COVID because somebody brought the virus into him. So if you're an individual who can remain in your location and never have contact with anybody from the outside world, yeah, if you're willing and content to do that, you can argue, well, then you don't need the vaccine. Most people aren't willing to live like that. So my recommendation is get the vaccine.
Okay. Now, so again, we're discussing vaccine anxiety with Dr. Donald Levine, who is an infectious disease doctor. So the DNC was involved with the Moderna trial, and there were people who volunteered to get it. Has there been any type of negative effects from people who already had it before it was released to the general public, or now that it's been like several months since those people got it and we're still watching them to make sure like they don't grow a third eye or something like that?
Well, actually the DMC was not involved in the Moderna trial. Ford was. And another group of hospitals. DMC is now participating in one of the newer vaccine trials. But to my knowledge, there have not been an untoward number of side effects. Nothing serious, no third eyes or fourth extra fingers or whatever.
Okay, very simple as that. Is there a preference if a person's like given an option? Would you like, you know, it's like the fish or the chicken. Is there a better one? Is Moderna versus Pfizer versus some of the newer ones coming out, Dr. Levine?
As far as the Moderna and the Pfizer, they're almost identical. And as far as any of the new ones which come out or are coming out, the end result is you develop immunity. There's a little bit of a question about one of the newer ones, which is not yet released, which has less activity against the Brazilian strain. There's not a lot of that around. And it's still better than 60-70%. So my recommendation is, if you can get any one of the vaccines, get it.
Okay, very good. After 10 months of like doing this and being where we are, and people are I think people are becoming agoraphobics, and there's going to be a whole special field of getting people back into the world again. What about like people who have like pre-existing conditions or allergies or just anxiety about it and, you know, fear for fear's sake? What would you say to them, Dr. Don Levine?
I would say, particularly patients that have underlying conditions, particularly if they're in the older age group, do everything you possibly can to get the vaccine. Now, saying that is like giving people advice they've already heard and don't need. They just can't get on a list anywhere to get the vaccine. Unfortunately, insufficient amounts of vaccine were ordered, and insufficient amounts of vaccine have been made. So I think the new plan now is as much vaccine as can be developed, as quickly as it can be developed, will be developed. And they're ramping up new ways to get the vaccine into people's arms. Large-scale vaccine administration centers, for instance, involving volunteers who can be trained to get the vaccine, and military. Because part of the problem that you'll have to recall is, although there may be vaccine available, there aren't sufficient number of people who can give the vaccine, let alone get the vaccine. So unfortunately, we've got a ways to go yet. But hopefully with a little bit of patience, hanging in there a little bit longer, wearing a mask, washing hands, keeping social distance, we'll get there. It's just going to take a little while longer.
Okay, now, so President Biden announced that the U.S. has prepared and is purchasing 600 million doses, which should be enough for pretty much the entire population of the United States. How long, 600 million is a big number, and how long was that going to take till it hits the market that finally would say, like, the last person can say, oh, I'm number 300 millionth person to get vaccinated, Don Levine?
Yeah. If we're very lucky, and if all goes well, there's a chance that we should have everybody vaccinated who wants to be vaccinated by the end of the summer.
Okay. And will that mark then the end of the pandemic, and we have nothing to worry about, and we can go back to eating in restaurants and walking around the street without masks and visiting grandma and grandpa?
I think that remains to be seen, but certainly we should be a long ways towards that.
Okay, that's going to do it. Dr. Don Levine, I want to thank you so much for coming on and enlightening us and hopefully allaying some of the vaccine anxiety. And we wish you continued good health and continued success.
Thanks very much.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Marshall, the minute you listen to the Jewish Art, I hope you feel a lot more comfortable. I certainly do. I'm actually chomping at the bit. I am on not one, not two, but five waiting lists. Anywhere I heard that I could get on the waiting list to get the vaccine, I'm on it. And I actually called up one of them and I said, someone said, just call up. They're not going to call you. Just call them up and you'll get it. Okay. So I did. I sat on hold for an hour and 45 minutes. The lady picks up the phone and I say, I'd like to schedule an appointment for get vaccinated. And the first thing she said was, how old are you? And I said, I'm not 65. I'm under 65. And she said, you're not getting it. And I said, what about this? She said, you're not getting it. What about this? You're not getting it. We'll call you. Don't worry. So I guess you stop worrying. So says, help us stop worrying. We're going to be traveling along that highway with Menachem Weinstein. And this song is called Highway.
My highway had twists and turns, flips and burns. It took a toll on me. Minefields, afraid to wander. My heart filled with pain. My soul aches with hunger. I grip tightly through this field of lightning, hoping for a strike of life to ignite me. Searching for guidance. That's when you arrived. And like a car through pouring waters, your light shone. Until the dark began to fade. Through pouring waters, your light showed me the way. Never thought I need someone to blind me. Until the dark began to fade. The byway I tripped and learned that love is earned. It took a toll on me. Afraid to wander, my head knows the path, but my heart hears the thunder. I grip tightly through this field of lightning, hoping for a strike of life to ignite me. Searching for guidance, that's when you arrived there. Thank you.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hey, Shulton, and you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next for your Yiddish pleasure, this is Mickey Katz, Yiddish Mambo.
On the sidewalks of old New York, my bubby is blowing her car. She digs his Litvakl Latin leg. She's on an Afro-Cuban kick. You ought to see her shake it now. You ought to see her shuckle. She shite carambo, gimme mambo, not the huckle buckle. She don't want no flat foot floji. She don't want no fly fly. Beat the bongo and the congo. I'm Mechaya. Oi! Peres Prade, she loves him avade. Na Yiddish mambo. You want to see her go to town. She's dancing for Hosapper. Don't go for Lindy Hoppy. She don't dig those cats. Get so jollies from Timbales. I'm Michaya. Yes! Baking your challis for Nora Morales. Na Yiddish mambo. She mambos in the major league. She's teaching every tenon. Cool and kosher like the rosher. She must cap the pennant. Turkey trotting gives her nothing. Waltzes are too slow. She blows that trube like in Cuba. She must holler, go! Her kugel is hot for Xavier Cugat. Na Yiddish mambo. Ah, she made the Shatkin mambo mad. She's even hip the jammers. And now and then she gets a yen to dig Fernando Lames. She won't touch the minuet. To her it's strafe like ham. But Poopy Kempo knows her tempo. Makes her holler, shame, she don't dig George. My Yiddish mambo, my Yiddish mambo, my Yiddish mambo. Olé, olé, hoy vey!
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Fittman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more song. This is Eighth Day, new song. It's called Rollin'.
The water's on my mind and I just can't swim. The only way to win is to jump right.
Some say turn around and fight 'em. Some say close your eyes and pray. Some wave a big white flag, screaming with surrender. Some quit, calling it a day. Just keep on moving, roll it on. Don't stop for the ocean.
Don't stop, don't stop.
Keep on moving, waters fade away. Keep on moving, roll it on. Don't stop for the ocean.
Don't stop.
Keep on moving till you find your way.
Vai, oi, merveille, so fort, fort, fort. Vai, oi, merveille, so fort.
Away, there's just nothing about survival. Some say
doesn't really pay.
Some hold on tight, screaming, can't change my nature. Some say we just can't find our way.
Just keep on moving, roll it on. Don't stop for the ocean.
Stop, don't stop. Keep on moving, waters fade away.
Keep on moving, roll it on. Don't stop for the ocean.
Don't stop.
Keep on moving till you find your way.
Vai, oi, merveille, so fort, fort, fort. Vai, oi, merveille, so fort. Vai, oi, merveille, so fort, fort, fort. Vai, oi, merveille, so fort.
Let's go, let's go.
Water's on my mind and I just can't swim. The only way to win. Jump right in, staring down a barrel, but I trust in him. Waves are crashing, but we're coming in.
Got my eye on the prize, won't stop for the lies. I'll be running down this path till he opened my eyes. Clouds are dark, I can't see a thing, but I wait to see the light that my faith will bring.
Don't stop.
Keep
on moving, waters fade away.
Keep on moving, roll it on. Don't stop for the ocean.
Don't stop.
Keep on moving till you find your way.
Hey!
Water's on my mind and I just can't swim. The only way to win is to jump right in. I'm staring down the barrel, but I trust in him. The waves are crashing and we're coming in. Got my eye on the prize, won't stop for the lies. I'll be running down this path till he opens my eyes. Clouds so dark I can't see a thing, but I wait to see the light that my faith will bring.
Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Feminine, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, they will be reading in the synagogue the portion of Yisro, which can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 18 and following. The end of the portion, the major part of the portion people talk about all the time. We've been on air 25 years. We talk about the major part of the portion. There's two portions that are actually, the first part talks about Moses' father-in-law Jethro coming after the giving of the Torah and telling him that he needs to set up a judicial system, which we've talked about in the past. And then there's the major part of the major part of the portion, which is the giving of the Torah. It's even read on the holiday of Shavuot, which commemorates the giving of the Torah. And there's a lot to talk about when you're talking about the giving of the Torah. Yes, the very end. There's like a little trailer, just a little tagline, which very often gets overlooked. In fact, as far as commentaries go, not a whole lot as far as commentaries are going. It talks there about building an altar, which, before you get any ideas, Jews now are were prohibited from building altars and sacrificing animals. Once the temple was built, you're not allowed to build an altar. Simple as that. So just think about it. So we think, but well, okay, it's, we don't cut parts of the Bible out simply because we don't think they're relevant anymore, because they still are relevant. And the rule is, if it's in there, it's relevant, and you have to go find the relevancy, which is what we're going to do today. So what's the deal with the altar that was built? And admonishes that an altar needed to have a ramp. You could not use stairs, even if you had a very low altar. Like the altar that was in the sanctuary in the desert, it was 3.5 feet high. So Aaron was a big dude. He could have just put his foot up. Usually it was like a 3 foot high step. What's a big deal? No. Sorry. It says explicitly there must be a ramp. And that, what is the ramp for? It says that the person shouldn't show their immodesty. Because what's going to happen is that those people wore robes back then, and you'd be able to see like the outline of their legs, which was considered an act of immodesty. What's this got to do with us in 2021? As it is, the idea of a altar was for the purpose of creating a communion with the Almighty. And this is talked about in greater length when we get to the book of Leviticus, where it talks about how the sacrifices were offered. And actually, in a couple of weeks, when we get to Parshas Truma, it says, make for me a sanctuary, and I'll dwell among you. And we've talked about that in the past. We want to come close to God. And parenthetically, God wants us more to come closer to Him than we want to come closer to God, by the way. And so keep that in mind always. And when we do come closer to God, so the Almighty says, I don't want you taking big steps. Take little steps. Use a ramp. It's easier to go up a ramp. How do we know? Well, look at all those wheelchair facilities they have. In any place that's ADA compliant has a ramp, because a ramp is a whole lot easier than steps. So the Almighty says, I want you to get there the best way possible. And you don't need, for a person to develop a relationship with the Almighty, the expression is you don't need to stand on the ground and jump on a roof. You do a high jump, just kind of like jump up and land on the roof. That's really hard to do, and it's not demanded of us. The Almighty doesn't mind if you take a ladder, and to get on the roof, you go up one rung at a time. And you can even hang out on one of the rungs in your climb up. Just so long as you're climbing up. Interesting statement the Baal Shem Tov makes. If you have a person who's like on a ladder, the ladder has 613 rungs, and the guy is on step number 612 going down, and there's a guy on rung one going up, who's higher? The Baal Shem Tov said, the guy on rung one, because he's going to wind up on the top, whereas the guy on the top, on 612, he's going to wind up on the bottom. So it's where you wind up is the deal. So just keep the focus. That's the idea. Keep your focus. Do things in baby steps. One thing at a time. Let's find out. Here's a mission for you. Here's your homework. Today, before you get ready to go to bed, think, what thing did I do today that was better than yesterday? And then plan, what good thing, what better thing could I do tomorrow than I did today? Just one thing. It doesn't have to be magnanimous. I'm not going to give you any examples. because that might be trivial to you, and some people it might be too hard. One thing. So if you think about it, in the course of a year, you have now improved. You've done 365 things better than you did a year ago. And if you'll do that for 120 years, the world will be a much better place. Speaking of much better place, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finley here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The absolute best way? Go to RabbiFinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com, and there you'll find right on the homepage a way to connect to me, to ask me any, pose any question, query, comment, criticism, or anything else that you'd like to do, and it doesn't have to be necessarily relevant to the show. I'm open to, I get questions all day long, every day, about full gamut of topics on Judaism, and I'm fine, that's what I'm here for. You know, so it's like I tell people, I'm available 24/6. Just, you know, drop me a line. What else is on RabbiFinman.com? Well, we have archived editions of the show going back at least 4 years, I think it is. I haven't looked in a while how far back you can go. There's also other ways in which, other media in which we convey Judaism in hopefully entertaining and educational way. And there's also the very important donations page. It's the beginning of the month. We've got to pay the piper, you got to pay to play. And since it is that the Jewish Hour now on air for 25 years almost, next month will be our 25th anniversary. 25 years, we've been doing it only with help from people like yourself. Listener-supported radio, that's what this is. So go to RabbiFinman.com. And you can make a one-time pledge. It's all very easy. It's all very safe and secure. Make it easier on yourself. Make a smaller donation, but make it monthly. You can do that, and then it just happens. And you get to have the mitzvah of giving charity every month, and you didn't even realize it. It's a very good thing. Modern technology is wonderful. Don't like internet giving and credit cards and all that stuff? I understand. Listen, if people have vaccination anxiety, people have had credit card over internet anxiety a whole lot longer. So, no problemo. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Another program affiliated with the Jewish Hour is Jewish Ferndale, under the same umbrella organization. And right now, all of our programs are virtual and viewable for the whole last 10 months. They're on Herschel Finman's Facebook page, and you can access them. Some of the programs, Hannah Finman's, in the beginning of up until Rosh Hashanah, I think it was. Maybe it was up until Hanukkah. I'm not sure. I remember why she stopped doing them. But Hannah would give these art lessons. I would sit and listen. I have now a tremendous art appreciation. Before I took these lessons, I needed a ruler, a square, and a triangle to draw a straight line. But now, hey, I have a great appreciation for art. And my wife, Baruch Hashem, she could tell you about, she could talk to you about a painting and all the nuances of a painting for an hour. And that would be a painting that she's never seen before. This is the first time looking at it. It's amazing. She's just a wonderful person. And there's book reviews, and there's cooking lessons, and the Hanukkah stuff is all still up there, which is very inspiring. This week she'll be teaching how to make mandelbrot. Hannah's mandelbrot is to die for. You wouldn't know. Oy. And she'll be doing that on Herschel Finman's Facebook page. And go there, and you can watch those things every Friday before candlelighting time. She gives words of inspiration and encouragement. And it's a really good way to start the Shabbos. We want to make your life easier. That's what we're here for. So check it out. Story goes, man went to the Baal Shem Tov, who was the founder of the Hasidic movement, passed away in the year 1732, so this happened sometime before then, and he was really worried. His landlord was threatening to throw him in jail for not paying rent. He owed 2 years of rent for the farm that he was sharecropping. He didn't want to go to the Baal Shem Tov, but the farmer's wife said, you have to go to the Baal Shem Tov. You need advice. You don't know what to do. You don't have a penny. So he said, okay, fine. So he went to the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov told him that go to the market tomorrow. The market's closed. It's not a market day, but go to the market. And there, some non-Jewish person will offer you something. Buy it for the price that he asks. He says, okay, fine. He goes home and says, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. The wife pesters him and hounds him and says, you went, you got nothing else to lose. Go. So he goes, shows up at the marketplace. There's nobody there. He's walking around the place. 10, 15 minutes go by. A peasant comes up to him and says, hey, you want to buy a sheepskin? He says, okay, fine. How much do you want for the sheepskin? He says, I want one gold coin. The guy had one gold coin. It's the last money he has in his life. He hands the guy the gold coin. The guy hands him the sheepskin. He takes a look at this thing. And it's like, this old rag, what did I just do? But he went home and said, now what do I do? He says, the Baal Shem Tov told you when you get it to go home, go back and visit him again. So he went back and he visited him again. He said, tonight is your landlord's birthday. He's going to have all the big dignitaries. I want you to go and take this sheepskin as a present. So he says to the Baal Shem Tov, you're crazy. And the Baal Shem Tov gave him this look, like if looks could burn holes in floor, that's the kind of look he gave. The guy understood. So now he's in a tumult. He's going to give this old dirty sheepskin to the landlord for his birthday. He's going to wind up in jail, and it's going to, maybe he'll shoot him right on the spot for insulting him. And he says, he comes home and he says, I'm not going. The wife pesters him. You got to go. So he trudges to the door. He gets up to the door. He doesn't think he's going to knock. He's not going to knock. He is going to knock. And finally he turns around and says, I'm not knocking. But by that time, somebody opened up the door. Big burly guy opened up the door and sees the Jew and says, Jew, what do you want? And without saying anything, the guard says, oh, you want to give the landlord a present? Come right in. And he grabs this thing. He says, look at this thing, this old rag. And he pulls the Jew in, and he pushes the Jew in front of the landlord, who's a count, and says, this Jew wanted to give you a birthday present, Your Highness. And he hands him this old sheepskin. The count goes and is in a fury. You insult me like this in front of all of my friends to give me this piece of garbage? Off to the dungeon, I'll decide what to do with you later. And they take him away, and he's like, I knew this was going to happen. But the count wasn't a stupid person. And he said, listen, I know lots of things. I know lots of things about Jews. And I know, and the story goes, it lists a whole lot of pejoratives, which I'm not going to say, but I know they're not stupid. Let me go look. And he says, excuse me, please. And he went into the house, into his study, and he took the sheepskin and he laid it out flat. And he's looking at it. And he just suddenly notices there's a letter. And it's the first letter of his name. And he kind of like smooths out the hair on the sheepskin. And he sees that, keeps on smoothing it out. It spells out his name, his father's name, and his birthday with the year. And it had naturally grown into the fabric. This is the way the fabric grew. And he said, it's a miracle. It's a wondrous thing. He went and he showed everybody. And he went immediately, had the Jew pulled out from the dungeon and said, look, did you see what this is? And the Jew kind of like said, you didn't let me explain. The Jew was smart. So the landlord said, I'm forgiving your loan. You know, this is the best thing I've ever had in my entire life. You don't ever have to pay rent ever again. And as a token of my appreciation, he gave him some money and so that he could live happily ever after. Then, let's get some background music behind me, please, Tony. He asked the people around him, what should I do with this thing? They said, make it into a birthday hat. Wear it on your birthday every year. And that's what he did. He wore the count, wore it on his birthday every year, and every year he'd send a present to this Jew. That's going to do it for us. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you're not anxious. We hope you have a great week. Take care. Betrink lecha, yemo mesu turrela.